Good morning. Welcome to the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. It is April 24th, 2024. This is episode 147. This is a podcast by a dreamer for all of you dreamers out there. I am a stand-up comedian and an actor and an improviser documenting my journey as I try to figure out how to accomplish the dreams and goals that I have in what can be a very confusing and frustrating industry, that of comedy and entertainment in general. You'll notice that I am not on camera. This is yet another travel edition. I am actually in Los Angeles, California, Hollywood, the City of Angels, and I will be here this entire week. I will be playing piano at the world-famous Magic Castle in Hollywood with an incredible magic duo known as the Charlatans, who are just incredibly talented gentlemen and good friends of mine. You have actually met one of them on a previous podcast. His name is Bill Cott, a very successful actor, very funny improviser, and has had a real incredible journey of his own as an actor and as a performer. And if you want to learn more about his story, you can check the podcast that I did with him about a month ago. And he has, again, had a very interesting journey. He came from the Chicago improv scene. He almost got on Saturday Night Live, ended up on the Dana Carvey Show, moved to Hollywood, ended up getting in some movies, got a big role in The Wizards of Waverly Place with Selena Gomez. Just a really fascinating story and a really good guy. But he's also a magician and does the magic show with another gentleman whose name is Dave Cox, whose resume I don't know as well, but he has agreed to be on the podcast. All I know about him is he has been a professional performer his entire life, also an improviser, also a comedian, and a professional magician. That's how he makes his living. And he is a member of the world famous Magic Castle. If you don't know what the Magic Castle is, you should Google it. It is a very fascinating venue. It's right off of Hollywood Boulevard. It's literally behind the Dolby Theater where they film the Oscars every year. So the Oscars and the Dolby Theater are in this big mall right off of Hollywood Boulevard, right next to the Chinese Theater, you know, and the Walk of Fame and all of those iconic Hollywood landmarks. The theater where they film the Jimmy Kimmel Show is right there. And you literally just walk, if you walked through that mall and exited the back of it, the Magic Castle is just on the next street over. So anyway, I have been playing piano with these two for, gosh, maybe 6 or 7 years. Gosh, has it been that long? So I met Bill through a friend when I first moved to LA. He was one of the first people that I met in Los Angeles, and he was so incredibly gracious to me. I moved out there. I didn't know anybody, and I didn't know anybody except for this one guy who I had randomly met at an improv festival in Phoenix, and he and I became like Facebook friends. And when I had done a post about moving to Los Angeles, he reached out and said, hey, you need to connect with Bill Cott. So he and Bill Cott were longtime improv buddies. So I went to lunch with Bill Cott one day, and he just gave me the lay of the land and shared his wisdom and just let me know what to expect coming out to Hollywood and going for the big Hollywood dream. And so he and I have been friends ever since. So that would have been since about 2015. So I've known him for a good 9 years. And then what had happened was Bill learned that I was an improv piano player, which is a pretty unique, rare skill in Hollywood, because there are tons of improv troupes, and a lot of them want to have a musical element, but finding piano players who know how to improvise songs on the spot and make up chord progressions and all of that and be able to be reactive to what's happening in the scene is not very common. And it just so happens that I possess that skill to some degree. And that was very valuable to me, to be able to accompany music improv troupes. So what ends up happening is Bill asks me to help him out with a music improv class that he was teaching. And that's where he learned that I had skills as a piano player. So a couple years later, I get a call from Bill that he and a buddy of his do this magic duo. So they're a magic duo, and it's very vaudevillian, and they also have like a big opening number that obviously requires piano. So they had written this two-man act and had been performing it fairly regularly, but the piano player who they normally use, who, by the way, is an incredible musician, is a gentleman named Huey Stone Fish. And Huey Stone Fish is an unbelievable piano player and musician. But he started to get some other opportunities and wasn't able to perform with them on an upcoming run at the Magic Castle. So Bill reaches out to me and asks if I would be able to fill in on the piano, which was super fun. So they send me over. They didn't really have much. They pretty much just sent me over a recording of their show and then just kind of said, hey, can you figure out all of the music and all of the piano that is going on in this show? And it's about an hour show. So I have a decent ear. I'm not great at it, but because I had enough time, I was able to listen to the show and start to pick out all of the piano parts that that were being played by Huey Stone Fish and pretty much recreate what he was doing. And it wasn't too hard. A lot of it is actually more just underscoring, with the exception of at the very start of the show, they come out with a big opening sort of Broadway musical type number. So that took me a little bit of time to figure out the chord progressions for and to figure out how it goes and to really nail it. And then from there, a lot of it is again, just underscoring. They do like a film noir. They do kind of like a futuristic time traveler bit. And they do kind of this lighthearted commercial. So all of that is more or less just underscored. So anyway, that was maybe about, oh gosh, 5-6 years ago. And yeah, they liked working with me so much that I became their permanent replacement. And ever since then, once or twice a year, we would do a run at the Magic Castle. Now, what's really cool about that is the Magic Castle is an exclusive private magic club, again, in Hollywood. So the only way to get into the Magic Castle is you have to be a member. And to be a member is a very exclusive privilege. So all of the members are pretty much magicians. I think it might be only magicians. I guess maybe it's possible that you could be a member and not be a magician. Maybe they let like celebrities or something in. I don't know. But anyway, so Dave Cox is a member of the Magic Castle, because again, he's a professional magician, and then he worked out this show with Bill Cott, and then they brought me on board to play piano and do these runs at the Magic Castle. So, more about the Magic Castle. So, every single night at the Magic Castle, they have magic shows, obviously. So there's like three, actually, it's probably more than that. There's five like stages or performance rooms within the Magic Castle. It's gigantic. Think of like, I don't know, like maybe like a hotel that has like five different ballrooms or, you know, rooms that could be rented out. It's kind of like that, only it's the venue is so much more elegant. I actually think it used to be like an old mansion in Hollywood, like, you know, some rich aristocrat or something, you know, bought it in like 1900, because it looks just like a really big kind of archaic looking mansion. Somebody will have to actually Google the history of the Magic Castle, because I don't actually know if it was a mansion, but I think it used to be a residence, you know, 100 years ago or whatever. But then got purchased in 1960, somewhere around there, and then got transformed and remodeled into this magic venue. So it's such a cool venue. It's very elegant. It's very old school. Very ornate. To enter the Magic Castle, they have a very strict dress code. It's formal wear only. So all of the men are in suit coats and ties. All of the women wear these incredibly beautiful gowns. It's like, you know, a lavish, opulent night out on the town. And because it's exclusive and private, the only way to get into the Magic Castle is to have an invitation from one of the members. So you can't just show up and knock on the door or just show up and pay a cover and get in. It's by invite only. So it just creates this really cool, unique atmosphere that I don't experience anywhere else that I've ever visited. And so having this opportunity to perform at the Magic Castle, even though I'm just playing piano, I'm not even doing magic. But to be able to contribute to the magic show and the entertainment of Dave and Bill, and then to be able to hang out at the Magic Castle for five or six nights of the week, and we'll usually do three shows a night. So, you know, we're popping out a good 12, 15, sometimes 18 shows in that run. But in between shows, I get to walk around the Magic Castle, rub shoulders with all of these beautiful, opulent people. It's very popular. Celebrities pop in. I saw Neil Patrick Harris there. Neil Patrick Harris is also a magician, and he's a member there. So I saw him there. I saw Jason Sudeikis there. I saw Olivia Wilde there. I can't remember the guy. He used to be on The Daily Show. Can't remember his name. I once saw this TikTok influencer who I absolutely loved, and I couldn't believe that I actually recognized the TikTok influencer. She's actually a dancer. I think her handle is That Dancer Taylor, or Taylor the Dancer, something like that. And she does these coolest hip-hop pop and lock type robot type dance moves. I don't even know how to describe it. But it was funny because this dance video that she had done popped up on my TikTok a couple of years ago, and I kind of became obsessed with her dance videos because they were just so unique and so cool. And then the last time I did the Magic Castle about a year ago, she was there, and I was like, oh, I know her. She's that dancer. So anyway, it's just a super fun, cool night, and I get to hang out with Bill and Dave and do magic shows and hang out at the Magic Castle. And, you know, I was talking about this a little bit the other day. It's so easy to get wrapped up into how things could be better and everything that's going wrong and all of the discouragement. And sure, this is going well, but what about this, this, and that? And, you know, being able to be in this situation, which is just so rare, because I don't even market myself as a piano player. I barely even consider myself a piano player. And yet, because of this skill set that I really just sort of developed on my own, I never really like set out to be an improv piano player. I always loved playing piano growing up, and you know, I learned how to play classical music, and then when I got a little bit older, I learned a little bit of jazz music. I remember taking a couple jazz piano lessons. So I was definitely familiar with improvisation in a jazz context, but in terms of improv piano in a comedic musical improv sense, that was never something that I even knew existed until I discovered Whose Line Is It Anyway and Laura Hall on the piano. But even then, I didn't have anybody sit me down and say, like, well, this is how you do improv piano. I just sort of started figuring out when I was performing improv with the Jesters back in 2008 to about 2014. So that skill set, though, just in LA opened up some very unique doors. And again, I don't market myself as a piano player. I play piano a little bit in my stand-up comedy act. Not a lot, but a little bit. And then I do this Magic Castle gig, you know, with my buddies. But it's just such a cool, rare little opportunity that I've landed on. And just something to be grateful for and a cool opportunity and experience that I get to have in life, which is very rare and very unique and something that I'm very grateful for. And Dave and Bill are just incredible guys. They're so gracious. They're so compassionate. And yet they're so talented and so appreciative of what I bring to the table. And, you know, it's not like it pays a ton of money, but I don't even care. You know, I just get to do it. And I'm trying to think of the last time I was even here. I think I was here sometime last year, but I don't remember when it was. But again, they seem to do a show like this about once or twice a year. I was also out here. They performed at another venue in Santa Monica, and I came out for that. But anyway, that's where I will be all this week, is in Los Angeles, performing at the Magic Castle at night. Still doing my day job by the day. So that's going down. And I had talked a little bit yesterday about a new show that I am developing at JP's, and there has been a lot of positive energy and movement regarding that. And so I'm very excited to move forward with that show and seeing how it starts to develop and evolve and unfold, and all good things, everybody. So, you know, I've been pretty discouraged lately, but it's good for me to remember that I have incredible opportunities and things going on. Oh, and I have still been writing my new jokes. So let's see what we think of these. Let me pull out the old notepad here and see what we think of these. What is this? Oh, I don't really know how to make this a joke yet, but it's just something that bothers me. So while I was driving out to California, you know, I'm on this two-lane highway and this semi-truck pulls in front of me to pass another semi-truck, but he's only going like 1 mile per hour faster than that truck. However, both trucks are going like 15 miles an hour slower than what I want to go. And nothing bothers me more than having to slow down so that this truck can pass another truck at 1 mile per hour faster. And I'm just going, you guys are both going in the same direction. Do you really need to get where you're going 1 mile per hour faster than this other guy? Are you really going like, oh, these, I got to get these tomatoes to Fresno 1 mile per hour faster? Yeah, okay. I don't know what else to do with that. So this was actually a really old bit that I wrote but never really did anything with. And so I'm trying to, I thought about it and I was like, oh, maybe I could resurrect that bit. Maybe I could tell it better. So the bit is, I was watching an old zombie movie and I just couldn't figure out how the zombies were winning. Because all of the zombies walk like their shoelaces are tied together. They have no brain power. They move in huge masses. It seems like all anyone would need to do to get away from the zombies is just walk away. You know, just normal speed. They're like shuffling their feet. You can't just walk away. I feel like every zombie movie should just be like some guy running into the middle of the Times Square and yelling, hey, everybody, the zombies are coming. Then the people go, well, how much time do we have? Well, you know, they're walking pretty slow. You could probably, you know, finish your lunch. And then, you know, maybe just walk ahead a few blocks and then maybe, you know, double back. It seems like you'll be behind them. They don't ever really seem to look behind them that much. They pretty much just walk forward very slowly. I can't say this. Don't go in your house and then board up the doors and windows. They seem to do pretty good about breaking down boarded up doors and windows. But I think if you just kind of walk away from them and then let them pass, yeah, we should be good. Oh, congratulations, everybody. You beat the zombies. Okay. That was my idea when I wrote that like 10 years ago. Maybe it's still a bad idea. This was also an old joke that I never really developed. But speaking of old movies, I watched the old Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I don't know if you know the plot, but it's pretty much about a hobbit named Frodo who needs to take this evil ring through this perilous journey through Middle Earth and then eventually throws the ring in a volcano. The volcano then blows up and there's all this destruction. But then Gandalf, a wizard, somehow summons these eagles to go find Frodo, pick him up, and then fly him back home to safety. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Frodo, and after I saw Gandalf, the first thing I would say to him was, you had eagles this whole freaking time? Really? You just had eagles? Here, I've been stabbed in the chest by a Nazgul, I got stung by a giant spider named Shelob, and I got my finger bitten off by a creature named Gollum, and you had eagles. Why didn't you just summon the eagles at the start of the movie, had the eagles fly me to Mount Doom? I would have just thrown the ring in there, ring toss style, and then they could have had me back home before second breakfast. That was a real dick move, Gandalf. How about no more hoarding the eagles? All right, that's that bit. I don't know, guys. Well, this is kind of a new bit. So I was raised very religious, and people growing up at my church would always say this phrase that never made any sense to me. They would say, I know God answers prayers, but not in the way we want. And even as a young kid, every time I heard that, I would just think, that just sounds like God didn't answer your prayers. Why does God need this contingency plan? you know? So evidently you were like, dear God, please bless me with $1 million. And then God was like, job loss, divorce, disease. And then you're like, dear God, thank you for answering my prayer, just not in the way that I wanted. I don't know. I just gonna go ahead and assume that God did not answer your prayer. All right, everybody. That's all the new or resurrected jokes that I have. We'll see if any of those ever make it on a stage near you. All right, everybody. So that is the update here from Hollywood, California on April 24, 2024, Paul Green Comedy Podcast. I hope you're all doing well. I love you all so much, and I will talk to you tomorrow.